preparation so that we understand what the convention is all about. And I think there were issues around, surely there were no issues, but I think there was an appreciation that there is not much deep understanding of Mercury, the threats it poses, and so forth. So we thought, let's just have this workshop. Workshop one another around the convention on Mercury, because South Africa is a signatory to that convention, and the rules are that we have to approve as parliament, so that South Africa can then ratify. It can be given full ratification of the convention. Now there is a, in terms of the program of Parliament of the National Assembly, on Thursday we are considering, or the Assembly, the House is considering adoption of our committee report on a Minamata Convention on Mercury, which was 80-seat on the 13th of June 2018. So the House will most likely will adopt on Thursday, unless it is something that happens major between this workshop and Thursday. Thursday next week, not tomorrow. Thursday the 23rd. Yeah, so this report, together with the on SADC protocol on environment. Environmental management for sustainable development. So will also be discussed by the House on Thursday. So I hope we are ready to take us through not long and detailed, convoluted submissions, just straight to the point. I've asked Mark not to speak. Please, DG, put him on the reserve on this one. Otherwise, we'll be out of here by tomorrow. So, I hope he's not the one who's going to take us through. If he is the one, then we must ask him to summarize.
Thanks, Chair. Then, with that change, Obed Baloyi, the Chief Director responsible for chemicals management, will give the background to the convention, Minamata Convention on Mercury, and followed by Noluzuko Gwai, who will deal with South Africa's mercury inventory. She is our director that is responsible for chemicals and waste cooperation. And then we will have then the presentation on the status quo of the mercury phase out in the South African health sector and the analysis thereof of mercury products by Groundwork, Mr. Rico. And lastly, we are to have the report on the monitoring and mercury emissions by the South African Weather Services, Dr. Lynn Martin. So if they do that in that order and be responsive to the chair, be brief and clear. Thanks.
Yeah, no, let's do that. I think maybe for members, it's a workshop, so you can just come in if there's something that you need clarification on or to be further elaborated. because we don't have to wait until the end so that you can ask questions. As and when you think that there is something that you need to be clarified, just indicate to me and I'll ask the presenter to pause a bit so that we can clarify that. Over to you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and good afternoon, Honorable Members and colleagues. The presentation that I'm doing, Honorable Chair, most of the information was basically what the Department presented at the last meeting when we were asking for recommendation for approval for ratification. So I am going to be brief, and as well the colleagues are aware of the information that that we have. So starting from the beginning, obviously, is with regards to the definition of mercury. This is a naturally occurring heavy metal which causes toxic effects on the environment and human health. It is released through natural processes like volcanic or geothermal activities, or through human processes, which is what we call anthropogenic, and that is where sometimes, or many a times, the problem is. The man-made emissions primarily come from gold mining, which in South Africa used to use mercury, and now combustion of coal, and this is where we have most of our emissions for coal-fired power stations. The human activities continue to increase the mercury in the air, oceans, freshwater, and soil, creating a global threat to human health and the environment. And obviously, mercury travels through oceans and the atmosphere and cycles through these processes for years, even decades. It accumulates in ecosystems and food chains, particularly fish, and is passed on to larger animals and humans who eat those foods. Honorable members would remember the presentation by the doctor from WRC, where it started with the algae and the different levels. I think mercury also follows the same process. Now, with all these challenges of mercury, with understanding of what mercury is and the challenges that it poses both to human health and the environment, there has been studies that have been taking place. The first that is relevant to what we're talking about has been the issues of global mercury assessment reports. These reports have been published previously in 2002, 2008, and also in 2013. And mercury issues have been an issue of concern in the UNEP Governing Council, and in the Governing Council of 2008, a decision was taken that internationally we need to look into a binding instrument that will look into dealing with mercury. And then in 2008, an intergovernmental negotiating committee was instituted to make sure that we deal with mercury. And the purpose was basically to negotiate a globally binding instrument that will deal with mercury. That process started in 2008 and basically ended in 2013 with the diplomatic conference in Japan, where the convention text was finalized, and also it was open for adoption. And that is where South Africa basically did sign the convention. The simple goal for the convention is to protect human health and the environment from anthropogenic emissions and releases of mercury and mercury compounds. The next slide, I mean, just basically indicates when this convention was adopted, when we became a signatory. As the chairperson also indicated, I mean, we as a department have recommended ratification, and the portfolio committee has approved that. So we obviously are waiting the National Assembly's consideration of the recommendation. As a country, we have undertaken mercury inventory using the UNEP Toolkit 1, just to determine what sectors in the country are responsible for the emissions and releases of mercury in the country. And from that initial study, the different sectors were coal combustion, cement production, oil and gas production, waste incineration, dental amalgam, primary metal production. Those were the main ones that that were highlighted. And in 2016, we embarked on getting into a detailed inventory using level 2 of the UNEP toolkit, which also had to indicate the cost-benefit analysis and the socio-economic implications for South Africa if we have to ratify the Minamata Convention. On the next slide, we basically highlighting some of the recommendations or the obligations by the Minamata Convention on different products. I know Rico will get into the products later on, so I'm going to run this very quickly. For an example, the current mercury concentration in skin lightness, it goes up to 31 milligrams, and the recommendation by the Minamata Convention is that it should be less than one parts per million. Thermometers, they are alternatives, so we don't have to be looking into the different concentrations. Amalgam, they are alternatives, we don't have to be looking at concentration. So basically do away with mercury containing ones completely. And members and colleagues will remember that in 2007 and 8, ESCOM embarked on a countrywide supply of energy efficient saving bulbs. Unfortunately, those were containing mercury. So as much as we were dealing with one problem, there was another problem that we needed to think about, because those energy saving lights basically are mercury containing. And it's something that we need to be looking into. We'll talk about the national implementation just shortly. There are batteries that are disposed of in household bins. They end up in landfill sites. There are traditional rituals that also use mercury. It has been reported that, particularly this has happened mostly in Lesotho, where women drink mercury just before childbirth to ease pains. And obviously with that, that has come to South Africa, more especially in the towns that are bordering Lesotho. The next slide talks about some of the obligations. We're looking at ratification in 2018 if all will be approved. Then we will be bound by the oil obligations, which one of the ones that is indicated is no mercury mining. That is an international one. We do not have mercury mining in South Africa, so we are fine with regard to that. But we'll have to phase down and phase out mercury listed products to meet the 2030 targets. We will need to adopt best available technologies and best environmental practices for new sources to make sure that we are managing our releases and emissions. What I need to highlight on the slide is still the important aspect of us developing a national implementation plan to be able to set our own country target with regards to how we are going to meet the 2020 target. That plan should obviously consider national circumstances, economic and technical feasibility, and also the affordability of us being able to phase out and phase down the mercury releases. The next slide starts talking on the advantages of us. It's going to be the next three or four slides that basically look into the advantages of us being a party, basically meaning that if we ratify, this is the benefits that we are going to get. The first one is the financial assistance. It is going to be an expensive exercise, but we would get financial assistance through the Global Environment Fund. It is a mechanism that is adopted for the Minamata Convention to assist developing countries to implement the obligations, and we would be beneficiaries. Technical assistance, capacity building, and technology transfer.
Okay.
I know that you've just mentioned that the financial assistance that we'll get if we implement this minimum convention. But what I would like to know, Chair, is the financial effect that we'll have in our economy. Do you perhaps have a look at that as well? Thank you.
Okay. No, proceed.
Okay.
I was trying to digest the question, but if you got the answer, you can.
Thank you, Chair. What we have done is the study, when we did the level two, we also looked into the socioeconomic impact, the cost benefit. So we looked into if we were to implement the Minamata Convention, what would it cost us? And Zuki would have the figures later on the presentation. It is going to be very expensive. That's why we indicated financial assistance as a benefit if we are a party. So we could do it as South Africa, but it was going to cost us a lot of money. Whilst when we are a party, we would be able to benefit from financial assistance to be able to assist us.
Okay.
Thank you. The next point on the slide is basically the phasing out of products. I know Rico will talk about the products later on in the next presentation. With regards to the next slide, it's basically to indicate that the convention is basically aligned with the current international environmental agreements that we are a party to. For example, the Basel Convention that deals with waste, it will also apply with regards to mercury waste. And nationally, we do have legislation that we would be aligned to us ratifying the Air Quality Act, the Waste Act, and the National Environment Management Act. Currently, there are 94 parties. This is at June 2018 that have ratified, and we have 24 of those coming from Africa, and 8 in the SADC, that is Botswana, Madagascar, Zambia, Swaziland, Seychelles, Namibia, Lesotho, and Mauritius. So if I indicated the issue of financial assistance, where possibly things may fall apart and we do not get financial assistance to be able to implement the obligations, the convention allows for withdrawal from the convention. I mean, we recommended ratification because we know that we're going to get financial assistance to be able to meet our obligations. Well, if that will not be able to happen, we can be able to withdraw. Article 33 of the convention basically allows us to be able to do that. The next slide, continuing on the advantages with regards to mercury in fish, it will, with the adoption, obviously, will promote healthy food, and also it provides South Africa an opportunity to address legacy issues that will improve the health of our people. I mean, legacy issues we're talking about, examples is the salt chemicals in KwaZulu-Natal, the contamination that has happened there. The next slide, Chairperson, is the figures that I indicated that...
The contamination that has happened where? KZN.
Yes.
What contamination?
It is mercury contamination at Geneka in KwaZulu-Natal.
Where in KZN?
Cattle ridge.
What happened?
Chair, if I can explain, in the 1980s, South Africa imported waste into the country. A lot of it came as sludge from America and other countries containing mercury. They were supposed to come to this company at that time called Thor Chemicals under the guise of recycling and recovery, but the technologies never worked. And at the moment, at Thor Chemicals, it's got a new name now, Guernica, it's about 3,000 cubic meters of mercury catalyst that contains mercury chloride. And in warehouses, that's been under the control of Department of, Old Manpower, Department of Labor, there's about 8,000 drums full of mercury sludge there. And it was a subject of a commission of inquiry in the early 1990s. We are looking at solutions to either repatriate that waste back from where it came or to have a safe, environmentally friendly way of dealing with it. And we're busy dealing with that. But I think how it comes here is that in terms of dealing with some of the destination and treatment options for that mercury, being a member and ratifying it, it would help us to access some of the funding if government has to deal with it by itself.
Okay. So which part of KZN is that?
It's in Cape Village near Hammersdale on the old Comrades route.
Okay.
In Changa.
Pietermaritzburg.
Well, yeah. It's not far from between Pietermaritzburg and Durban, exactly halfway.
Oh, okay.
Thanks, Mark. So on the left with only two slides on this presentation, the one that had a lot of color sausage is the one that will basically deal with the figures and the implications for South Africa. And that's part of the presentation that will be done by Unolu Zuk. This is basically continuing with regard to the advantages of being a party. I've spoken about the implementation plan that we need to develop and that will obviously consider our national circumstances. And currently, from the cost-benefit analysis that we did, there's an indicative figure of about 12.6 billion that would be needed to remove, to reduce coal-fired power stations, their emissions. And that's when we would be looking at the reducing the emissions by 98%. But we'll get into the details with regards to those. There are certain some, I mean, we have looked in the cost-benefit analysis, we looked into the biggest drivers of the economy. There are others that we still need indicative figures for, and we are working to be able to get that information. For example, the coal-fired industrial boilers, smelters, waste incinerators, and the cement clinker production plants as well. The last slide, continuing on the advantages, I have indicated the fact that we, as our, by ourselves, will not be able to afford, or it will take us much longer to be able to reduce the emissions and releases of mercury to the level that would be good for human health and the environment. So for us, we need to, if we are a party, we would obviously have access to best available technologies and as well best available environment practices that we are by ourselves would not be able to afford. With regard to healthcare, the convention expects green procurement for new medical equipment from the year 2020, and Rico will share some good stories with regards to the situation in parts of South Africa, not necessarily in everything, but there's some good stories as well to share in that. Medical thermometers, this is the way we want to make sure that this will completely be phased out. With regard to the implementation plan, obviously we will have to look into the current regulatory framework to say, do we have a regulatory framework that will be able to deal or make sure that South Africa will comply with its international obligations when we are a party? There are some regulatory instruments that already exist. I've spoken about skin lighteners. The Department of Health has a regulation that talks about concentration or limits with regards, or actually bans mercury in cosmetics. One of the challenges that we face is that some of these things come in illegally into South Africa, and that's something that we are working closely with, dealing with all chemicals management issues with our customs. We have trained them on, and we've also given them equipment to be able to identify some of these substances that are banned in South Africa but are coming in illegally. Just about 2 weeks ago, colleagues were at the borders and there was mercury that was being smuggled in a fire extinguisher. And I mean, it's coming in as a fire hydrant, and normally to find that it is mercury. So we are working closely with SARS to make sure that we are capacitating our customs officials, giving them the tools to be able to identify these substances, because by themselves they would not be able to. And I think basically, Chair, that's where I should stop with regards to the background on the convention itself. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. The only thing about this is that it's right in secret, a document. Secret. So we're dealing with highly secretive stuff here. Just a request that just take out this secret when you come here, because it's no longer a secret. It's open to the public, you know. Information that you share with Parliament is no longer a secret. Okay, any comment, Honorable Makwe?
Chair, at some point we're exposed to the work that happens in the mines and what these Zamazamas do, and that they get their mercury to process their stuff from neighboring countries. My question will be then, as we ratify it ourselves, do you know what is happening in the neighboring countries? By 2023, probably when the total ban happens, it may be that big business or the industry may be able to comply. Are you, perhaps it depends on whether we're dealing with Zamazamas as illegal or whatever. But my question was going to be, the new entrant will be able to comply with this process, or they will still need the mercury to process their stuff.
Thanks, Chair. Honorable Mokwela, it is a industry, the mining industry they tell us they have moved away from using mercury in the gold sector. So you are correct in saying that the illegal miners are the ones that are using mercury with regards to their activities. Certainly they do get the mercury illegally. It is, as I indicated, I mean, when we found out the smuggling of mercury last week, it is